Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
James 1, if you'll stand with me as we read from God's Word, James 1, verses 9 through 11, reads as follows. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and let the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away, for the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower fails or falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Dear Father, we ask that your word, Father, being complete truth, whole truth, and nothing but truth, being without error in all its ways, Father, may it be truth to us this morning, not because it isn't truth, but because, Father, we must choose to receive it as truth. Lord, bind our hearts with your word. Tear us open with your spirit and mend us together with your loving grace this morning as we come to you in repentance. And Father, seek your mercy and grace. We pray all these things in your holy Son's name. Amen. Now hear me when I say this. I don't want you to think out of this sermon that I think that in some way you being born in the United States should make you feel guilty of some sort. That if you traveled here and you became a citizen of the United States, or if you're here working under some type of government program, that you should feel guilty that you have fled areas or that you have come to know what life is like in the United States. You see, it is a blessing to live in the United States. And because of our blessing, we are called to give even that much more. You see, because a church in this type of country should be the greatest giver of all things to the world. You know, one of the things that people complain about most in our free society is welfare. I just want to remind us that if the church was truly the giving mechanism that Jesus desired it to be, if it was truly the give out of the abundance of your heart, you give out of obedience, that's called your tithe, and you give out of the abundance of your heart because God is good, and that is called an offering, that if we did that, there wouldn't be welfare programs that the government had to run, because the church would be the giver of all things to people truly in need. You see, so while we complain about welfare, we live in the most blessed society and economy that has ever existed on earth. Sadly, though, this text still rings true today just as much as any other text in the Bible. It starts off with, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. Is that saying that there's something wrong with the rich and something beneficial with the poor? Notice this, that we have been blessed beyond all measure through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you live in poverty, or if you live in what you think is below somebody else or beneath somebody else's, and your aspirations are always just to make that extra dollar so you can just get that next step ahead, I want to tell you something, that what he says is that when trials come your way, you have to remember that your hope is in Jesus Christ, and it's not about the dollar that you made, and you are exalted to a place that you are a child of the King. That God does not look on you unfavorably because your paycheck does not meet those of somebody else's. That your education is not as high as somebody else's. There's all these things we put into place because we live in a money-driven world. Money makes the world go round. We have to have cash flow. That's where food, electricity, all the things that we need. It is not wrong to have money, but what he is talking about is for some people, the struggle is if I just had more, my problems would go away. That is not true. You can go ask anyone who has plenty of money if their problems are all gone. In fact, they will say, with money comes problems. And it's amazing. The Bible teaches that the love of money is the root of all evil. You see, we begin to see that it's not about how much we have, it's about who we have in the man Jesus Christ. But then he says, in the humiliation of the rich, and this is where, if we truly have a correct perspective of how we stand on this earth, we are rich. We are rich, we are rich, we are rich. I mean, just look at the building we sit in to call church, to have a church meeting. We get upset if it's 73 degrees in here and not 71. We get upset if something happens and something doesn't work correctly. Why didn't that work correctly? These past 2 weeks, I'm telling you, our sound men have been trying with everything they have to make some mics work, because y'all know the past 2 weeks, the mics were having some kind of issues and we couldn't figure them out. Praise the Lord, this morning, everything, as far as I could tell, was going off just fine. But we tend to get stuck on these things because we are so, how do we say it, privileged. So privileged. And he says, in the humiliation. You see, our students, and I need to tell you a couple of things about this, but our students, our seniors that graduated high school this past year, there's a group of them going to Belize in a couple of weeks, and they're going down and they're going to do mission work and they're going to share the gospel. And one of the most intriguing things to me about any time a group goes overseas, or not even overseas, but just south of the Rio Grande, that they truly understand how much they have as compared to the rest of the world. You know, it's so difficult today. When I was in high school, we would go down to the Rio Grande. We would go down to, like, Mission. We would cross over Reynosa. We'd spend a week in Reynosa, come back across, go down. And it was so easy. And now with all the dangers that are involved with crossing the border, that many churches have stopped going. And one of the saddest things is that, one, we are so scared of what could happen to us that we never take into account that God wants to move in a people if we would just go. And if we truly trust God, he's going to take care of us, because he's already taken care of us, even if the worst happens here on earth. But we would go, but one of the things that I remember coming back as a sophomore for my first time to really go to an impoverished country was that I got back and I looked at my TV in a different way. I looked at the cars that we had in my family a different way. I looked at my mattress that I thought was the worst mattress on the face of the earth in a different way. I looked at the food I was served in a different way. I watched people as they left restaurants and their plates were still full of food and it was being scraped off into buckets, and I looked at it a different way, because the humiliation of the rich is an understanding that we have everything we need in Christ. However, the battle for a blessed country is to understand that we have to take everything we've been blessed with and put it on the back burner, because Jesus is everything. You see, while the child that is poor is exalted to the status of the king of a son, the one who is rich must understand, I am demoted to the status of a slave for the cause of Christ. That's why Paul would say, even while he was the greatest among the Jews in many's eyes, if he has his whole lineage that fell along the path, and he was a Pharisee and he kept the law, and everybody saw him as one of the best Jews you could possibly be, he would say, I'm a bondservant to Jesus. I'm just a slave. I am nothing. You see, the exaltation and humiliation. And notice that the lowly brother doesn't have much said after him. It doesn't talk about how the lowly brother should take on this, or an explanation of why he is exalted, but it does give us quite a bit about why the rich man, that should say something to us, why the rich man has to understand that his true path is in laying himself down and understanding he cannot take care of all his problems. You see, the verses after that don't talk about what a poor person should do. It talks about what a rich man should do. We have to take notice of that. Why would he continue to talk about how a rich person, someone who is blessed beyond measure, should act, and not that? Because it's so much harder for a person who thinks they have everything to understand they have nothing until they have the one thing named Jesus. And he goes on to use the same illustration that Jesus would use. He goes on to talk about the flower of the field is quickly fading, and how you can't keep anything with you that you gain here on earth, because one day when you stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the holy and righteous judge, God the Father, is sitting on his throne right beside the Son, that you're going to be standing there, just you. It's not going to be about what you did or how many people that you were over. It's not going to be about how much your paycheck was or how much you gave to charity. It's not going to matter how much you decided to go overseas and tell people about Jesus. Those things don't matter at that moment. It's about understanding that there is a holy and righteous God standing before you, and that your possessions will be long gone. Being buried in your Cadillac don't mean you get to drive it down the golden streets. You know, many people hold on to that one thing that they say, I want to be buried with this. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what I'd be buried with. I just hope that we, you know, get there. I don't know. I'm always sitting there. Rhonda don't even want to talk about the end of life. She's always like, I'm like, hey, we got to update our will. We got a new child. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about life without you, life without me, whatever. And I'm one of those people, I'm a realist. I'm kind of like, it may happen. She's like, that is so horrible to say. I'm like, well, last time I checked, everybody dies. So I got to keep moving on. Let's go. Sign these papers. She don't even know what's going to happen. She's going to have everything explained to her and all that kind of stuff. But our possessions, I'm not going to have my children there. I'm not going to be able to say, God, look at how my children acted, even though sometimes that wouldn't be to my benefit in front of the king. I'm not going to be able to say, look at how well I led my wife, and that's going to be a problem too, because I know where I fail in that. It's not going to be about, look at the churches I pastored, how many people I shared the gospel with, how many people got wet in my baptistry. It's not going to be about that. It has to be about, I have one thing, and I have become a slave to that person. And it's not because he's a demanding taskmaster. It's because he's a loving, loving, gentle Savior who called my name and said, hey, while you hated me, I loved you. And I poured out my innocent blood for your guilty blood. He says, the grass will pass away, the sun rises, scorching heat, and it withers, and the flower fails, and its beauty perishes, and so also the rich man will fade away in the midst of his pursuits. My question is, what is your pursuit this morning? If somebody were to just study your life, if they could take everything about you and a detective put everything you did in under the microscope that they take, they looked at your Facebook, they looked at where your car went, they looked at every closed caption television grab that they could get, they followed you to the types of restaurants, they saw who you hung out with, I want to know, what would your pursuit be? Would it be filled with going to meet friends at a classy restaurant? Or to spend that time with that person who's sitting out front of the store, you know, who has a hard time? Would it be spending an extra moment with the person who is at your house fixing something? Would it be that extra moment, or would it be filled with the hurried moments of, hey, I got my places to go and my people to see and my things to do? You see, what would your pursuit be? Because it's evident in how we live our lives. What is our pursuit? If we're pursuing Jesus, don't you think that at some point we should actually look like Jesus? If we're pursuing a God of love, shouldn't it somehow reflect in our life a life of love toward other people? If we're looking for true justice, wouldn't it be justice for all people? If we're truly looking for mercy, would it be truly seeing mercy in how we deal with our children or our spouse? If we're truly looking for peace, would it be about how we handle difficult situations at the workplace? You see, our pursuit will determine our passion, and it will show our passion. Two major sports contracts came up in the past 3 weeks. I don't know if y'all keep up with sports. I tend to read the sports news. When I was in high school, man, Sports Center twice every morning. I could quote stats of everybody. I didn't even like tennis, and I knew everybody that was playing tennis, who was winning, and all that stuff that they play on grass and the Wimbledon and all that stuff. And then you start playing that junk, you realize those guys are men, and those ladies are, man, they are women. They are strong people. But this month has been a record-breaking contract signing month. First, we have Derek Carr from the Raiders, 25-year-old quarterback, injured late in the season this year, signed a $125 million contract. I can't even fathom. I'm like, can you imagine? I mean, even with his paycheck of $400,000 a year, going to $25 million a year is just shattering. I mean, holy cow. You know, they say you can spend that much money in one day, and I imagine Rhonda could make a pretty good stab at it. But heavens, that's crazy. And then just yesterday, day before, Steph Curry's contract comes out of what he's going to sign. If you don't know Steph Curry's a point guard for the Golden State Warriors. Pretty much, if not already, the best pure shooting basketball player that has ever come about. The man can shoot from anywhere. Everything's phenomenal. He has a great sense for the game. He's a young man. He's like an 8-year veteran now. It's hard to believe he's been in the league for 8 years now. But staggering $200 million contract. Staggering numbers. Staggering wealth. And I'm not saying these things to put these two men down, because on all accounts that I have seen so far, Steph Curry cares about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray for men like him, because there's a spotlight put on him by young men and young women all over this nation that they have a focal point. And we don't need any more Charles Barkley saying we ain't role models, because the truth is you don't get to choose who you get to model to. That's why your pursuit is so important. Who are you pursuing? You're modeling it for somebody, but even more than that, it shows the true passion of your heart. And so these two men, it's unbelievable that Derek Carr gets this, and he was asked, I don't know if y'all saw the little clip of it, it was great. They said, what are you going to splurge on? You know, you live a pretty decent lifestyle, as far as, like, it's just normal. Most people would say, hey, go do something for yourself, go do something. And Derek Carr said, no, we're kind of low-key. We just want a normal house, live in a normal neighborhood. We drive normal cars. We're not these people. And they said, but you can do anything you want. And he said, you know, and they said, what would you splurge on? And he's like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to splurge on. Chick-fil-A. I'm going to go get Chick-fil-A. Which, you know, if you get that much money and your desire is to go eat a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, your norm is probably like, you know, everybody else's. You know, like, man, we're just trying to make sure we don't spend too much on one meal and all that kind of stuff. But he talks about Chick-fil-A, and they said, no, seriously. And he said this, and this is one of the most amazing things, is he said, well, honestly, first, we're going to tithe. I've been tithing since I got my first $700 scholarship check to help cover my living expenses that we get from that. And I've been tithing ever since, and I'm not going to stop now. Now, I'm just telling you, if one of our professional football players comes to our church and wants to tithe, I am all good with that. I just am. I mean, we can handle it. We can handle it. But you know what? How we use that money better be showing the gospel. But he says, we're going to tithe. And then he went on to talk about some things. He said, you know, my wife's car is old and it's and we really need to replace it. And so we'll do some things like that. But he goes on. But it was just unbelievable that before anything else, in front of the world, when everything's going to happen, you see, because the world says he's got everything figured out. He's healthy. He's good looking. He's married. He's got this. And now he's got $125 million, about $80 million of it guaranteed. It's figured out. I want to tell you something. That man didn't rest on the flower that had just been given him. He knew they were annuals. He knows that they're going to die before next season. He knows it could all be removed from him. But he knows the one truth that is there is that we honor God with our lives because that shows our pursuit. You see, the lowly brother, you've been made a king, and your pursuit should be the gospel. And if you are in this room and you think, man, if I just could figure this out, I want to tell you something. The first thing I want you to see is that our hope is in his promise, not our position. Whether you walk out the door with a shovel in your hand every morning, and you go to do hard labor, physical hard labor, or whether you go when you're suit and tie and you're running around with the biggest names in a county or a city or a state or even a country, it's not about our position. It's about the promise that we have a Savior. It's about a promise that one day we're going to stand before Him. It's about a promise that one day we're going to see our Savior face to face and that all things will be made clear. You see, it is not about our position. It's about His promise. The second thing that I want you to see is that our help in the times of trial, whenever we don't understand what's going on, whenever we feel like if I could just do a little bit more, this wouldn't be happening to me, or God, why do you hate me and why don't you let this happen? Our help is His provision, not our possessions. He gives what we need at the moment. He will never leave nor forsake you, as Jesus would tell the disciples. It talks about whenever we have given our life to Christ, the Lord says that no one can take you from my hand, that I will hold you. And then in the final days, we are told that it will be Him that makes us stand before the Father. We won't even be able to stand up in God's presence. We're going to keep falling, but Jesus is going to pick us up and say, I've got you. I've got you, I've got you, I got you. What are you pursuing this morning? Are you pursuing something that can be plucked out and be gone? Derek Carr next year blows a knee, Steph Curry's ankles give out, guess what? Yeah, they're still going to be wealthy in the world's eyes, but their worlds are going to come crashing down because if their identity only rests in what they do on this earth, there's nothing left. What is your pursuit? Are you pursuing just what you do here on earth? Are you this flower that you think is so much there and that there's all this beauty around your life? I want to tell you something. The heat of this earth and the pressure that this world has to put on you, at some point that beauty is going to fade. What are you pursuing? Are you resting in His promise more than your position? Are you looking for His provision instead of at your own possessions and how that can keep you satisfied till the end of your life? Are you holding on to what is yours? Are you giving because God says we should go and make disciples, that we should be ones who love more deeply than even family to those who are lost? What is your pursuit this morning?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.